Ray. People will come, Ray. They'll come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door as innocent as children, longing for the past. Oh, of course, we won't mind if you look around, you'll say. It's only $20 per person, and they'll pass over the money without even thinking about it. For it's money they have, and peace they lack. They'll find they have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baselines, where they sat when they were children and cheered their heroes. And they'll watch the game, and it'll be as if they dip themselves in magic waters. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good and could be good again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
Hello and welcome to the final episode of the MLB Whip Around opening week. It's been a great week here in the MLB Whip Around, and we're wrapping it up on opening day. Let's get to it. So it has been a very exciting opening week for us here in the MLB Whip Around. Colts Corner has been filled with the Major League Baseball season beginning. We've got a special guest today. He is a regular on the podcast.
Not obviously. A special guest, okay?
He's a regular on the podcast. He is our host. Douglas, welcome to the show.
Welcome back to the show, because I'm usually on the Whip Around, okay? I've been on multiple whip arounds, and I'm just excited.
True.
Today's opening day, one of the best days of the calendar year, and we're fired up. Yanks started off 1 o'clock against one of the worst teams that have ever been assembled, the Baltimore Orioles.
They stink.
They're worse
Look
than last
roster.
Year. They're worse than last year, and that's hard to be.
It really is. I mean, and we're talking about this now. I mean, come 4:30, we might be losing to them. So.
That's very
I hope
true.
Not.
What's the money line is 380?
It was 381. I think it's down to 374 right now.
People and, are pounding
we're not,
Baltimore.
We're not supporting
gambling. We're
just telling
you the facts
by any stretch of the imagination here. But right now the money line is New York Yankees minus 374. That means you have to bet $374 to win 100.
Wow, that's really.
It's not. I mean, whatever. We're not supporting gambling, but very excited for the Yanks game today. Good lineup out there. We got my boy Bird and Void out there. I'm not going to say my boy Bird, but he will be my yep. boy if he produces this year.
Yeah, if he doesn't get hurt.
Tulo at short. I mean, let's just go through right now. I think I know it off the top of my head.
Low risk, high reward player.
Yeah, we got.
Let's go top to bottom.
Let's go.
The lineups have just been announced.
Go ahead.
Guardy at center.
Yep.
Followed by Judge in right.
Yep.
Followed by Stanton in left.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by Voit cleaning up, DHing.
You're not reading this off, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, wow.
Followed by Glaber.
No,
Glaber's down.
And Duhar.
Yes.
And Duhar at
Don't
third.
Don't tell him when. Just let him.
And Duhar at third.
Gary.
Followed by Gary catching. No, that was going to be my next guess. Then followed. So what was that? Was Gary the sixth spot right there?
Yeah.
So followed by Bird batting seventh, playing first.
Yep.
Followed by Glaber batting eighth, playing short. And batting eighth, playing second. And Tulo rounding that out, playing second base. All right, playing shortstop.
I mean, let's just go through the whole lineup.
Great, Ben.
So
thank you, sir.
We've spoken about the Yankees offseason. We've spoken about the MLB offseason as a whole on our other MLB whip arounds. But as we come close to opening day, as we are here and we're almost ready for opening pitch, let's look at the opening lineup. You just said it. Let's go top to bottom. Brett Gardner's in center field. Hicks, obviously, on the IL, as we're calling it
now. Hey, I'll be calling it the DL, all right?
It's the DL.
It is the DL, but now officially it's the IL. So Hicks is on the IL, which means Gardy's got to move over to center, which is okay. Obviously, Gardner's arm not as strong as Hicks. Hicks has one of the best arms in the MLB. But Gardner can do the job. Batting second, of course, is probably one of the best players in the MLB right now.
One of the best players, Mike. I'm going to say this right now. Aaron Judge is the face of baseball. Let's be real.
That's a lie.
How is it a lie? I'm not saying he's the best player.
Mike Trout's the face.
You know what? After the contract extension, Mike Trout has become more of the face.
Trout and Judge, Judge is in the bright lights in New York City. I agree. He's much more recognizable to anyone than, like, let's say a Mookie Betts type player that is better than him.
I agree. Judge is definitely up there. If I have to pick 1, 2, and 3, it would be Trout, Harper, and Judge, just because Harper's so hyped up. But I think Judge is close. But I think Trout just has to.
Yeah, I mean, Judge burst onto the scene. He was hurt last year, which kind of damaged his stock just a bit, but not really, because everyone knows Aaron Judge.
The stupid guy hit him in the hands.
Yeah, you hate to see those hand injuries. Those are really the killers. Yeah. The quiet killers are those hand injuries on hit-by-pitches. You know, it's tough to gain the strength back in your hands after you get hit. So that's tough. Batting third, Giancarlo Stanton. Interesting to have Stanton batting third. Maybe Boone saw something. Maybe he becomes the Yankees' best hitter. We have no idea. Usually your three guy is a double machine, hitting, getting runners in, RBI guy. Stanton struck out a lot last year, which would most likely put him in the four hole rather than the three. But maybe this year is different. He seems to be more confident. New York is a big place to step in from Miami. So 1 year in, hopefully he performs a lot better. And one of my favorite players now burst onto the scene last year. We can't talk about it enough. Luke Voit.
He's your boy.
He is really my
boy. Remember, Doug, the game we were at, Yankees versus Tigers in August? I mean, we blew that game, yes. But Voit with a three-run shot, I mean, that place was electric when he hit that.
Luke Voit is a man amongst boys. The guy is a machine. I'm so happy to see him doing well. Him and Bird battled it out this spring, and ultimately it led to the Yankees taking two first basemen, which is huge if you think about it. Obviously, the injuries had a play in that as well.
Right.
With Kauffman being traded and brought over to the Yanks as a backup outfielder, who I think could be a sleeper guy to be a legit outfielder.
For me, when I heard this trade, Cashman's made some like low-key trades where one of them, Luke Voit, I mean, this guy's turning into our cleanup hitter this year. We'll see what type of year he has, but there's obviously something going on in the analytics department that they see in this guy, Tauchman, and there's just been a lot of diamonds in the rough, I guess is the way to put it. The Yanks have been able to scoop out from the minor league systems of other teams.
Yeah, totally. So we're going to keep moving down that lineup. Five is Andujar. We know what he did last year. He's been improving his defense, and you'd expect him...
Your rookie of the year last year.
Yeah, exactly, to keep improving. And, I mean, he was the rookie of the year last year in most of Yankee fans' eyes, and a lot of the MLB viewers in their eyes as well. Didn't get the vote, went to Ohtani instead. But he's trying to improve on his defense, and I would not be surprised if he's batting third for the Yanks. Into the season when we get rolling. So when they start fixing up the lineup. Sanchez batting sixth. Hope he has a bounce back year.
I mean, I hope so too, and I think it's definitely going to happen. Last year was kind of a rock bottom vibe for Gary Sanchez and his production at the plate. But we saw what this kid did his rookie year and the year after that. I think he's going to come back with maybe a little vengeance, maybe shut up the critics, and go out there. I'm thinking maybe a little 250 average, 40-ish home runs from your catcher. I think he returns himself to the best catcher in the game this year, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying it since he came up that this guy's he's an all or nothing. He's either on or he's not, and if he's off, then he's really just not going to perform. And I don't know, but based on the way I've seen him play, he's not that great of a player. You can mark my words on it, but I think he just got very lucky his first 2 years. I don't know. I just don't really see Gary Sanchez staying around for too long. He may have a few good seasons where he's producing enough to be a presence, but I just don't think he's going to be the star player that a lot of people think that he's going to be.
I don't know if lucky is the right word.
Well, yeah.
The guy's clearly talented.
Yeah, I think he just had a very big energetic boost when he came up that just kind of kept his adrenaline rolling through the rest of that first year and carried into 2017. That I think that's why he did so well. I don't know if it's so much of I think that now he's kind of been brought back down to earth a little bit.
He was very banged up, got off to an atrocious start last year, so hopefully he gets himself rolling here. So we'll go to the bottom third of the lineup. Greg Bird, a guy that was at rock bottom, similar to Gary Sanchez. His just career has been riddled with injuries thus far. Hasn't been able to get into a groove. Hasn't been able to sustain his play over at first base. His hitting has fallen off. and it's all back to the injuries. So you hope this guy could just stay healthy for one full season. We know he's got the talent from his first years with the club. And, I mean, you just hope he gets back to form.
Yeah, I think he's been spending too much time with Jacoby Ellsbury.
On the IL.
The two glass men, you touch him, and they're going to IL. The IL for at least 10 days. But
talking
about Ellsbury, I mean, this guy returned to camp mid-March, and still in the IL. So is he ever going to play? Maybe.
How long has he been out for
now? He has a lot of injuries. He's got a left hip issue.
The $153 million man.
Yeah.
Maybe the worst contract
he's
in sports history.
He's got a foot injury, that plantar fasciitis.
Yeah.
That's
what Jay Bruce has.
He's got that issue.
I used to have that as well. Painful stuff.
It is. Yeah. It actually does hurt. I have that. It's tough. But it's tough to be paying that guy that much money and him not to be playing for over 2 years. You know, you just hate to see that. And you hope he gets back and starts producing for the Yanks.
And the sad thing is, though, is that it's going to really take a toll on how people look at his career. I mean, he was really good with the Red Sox. He had a lot of great years where he was one of the faces of that team. And it's just sad that he's going to be looked at now when he retires as just a guy who got hurt all the time and kind of just was dead weight.
Yeah, he'll figure it out. He had a great start to his career. Hopefully he can end on a high note.
I'd love to see him come back at some point and just hit a big homer for the Yanks.
So totally. That would be very cool for him.
Definitely. Cool moment.
You know what? How about you just bunt your way on and steal a bag? Come on. It's Jacoby.
Yep. Of course. Yeah.
Let him go to work. So, playing second base today. You got your second and shortstop batting 8-9. Torres over at second. We know what he did last year. Rookie of the Year candidate. Outstanding. Him
great,
and Andujar were terrific for the Yanks. Gave him a huge boost. And Troy Tulowitzki. Low risk, high reward guy here.
Hit a homer a couple days ago. He looked pretty good in the spring.
Fragile as well, but as Ben alluded to, outstanding spring. And you hope he could just produce while Didi Gregorius is on that IL.
Yeah, definitely hope so. I mean, like you said, low risk, high reward. It was the major league minimum contract because the Toronto Blue Jays are still paying $20 million of his old contract.
That's what's great about it, though.
Yeah, I mean, we have a division rival paying him to produce for us.
And if you think about it, if he performs really well, by the time Didi comes back, if he's hitting above 300 and is producing, Didi might not get to play as much, and that might just derail his career.
Well,
you don't know.
We'll see. That's a good problem to have.
What if he snaps back into his old form and Tulowitzki's Tulowitzki again? You never know.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But
totally. I agree.
It would definitely be a good problem to have.
But one more thing before we move on to the broad scope of opening day, not just the Yankees. If we look at the IL for the Bronx Bombers here, Ellsbury, Batanz is out. All these guys on the 10-day DL, Didi, Hicks, Severino, Heller, and of course Montgomery's on the 60-day coming back from Tommy John surgery.
A lot of people forget about Jordan Montgomery. He's gonna come back in the summer and make an impact on this ball club, I think.
I totally agree. But that's a long list of injuries right there. Not the way you want to start your season. But if the Yankees, they've got a pretty easy matchup here in the opening series against Baltimore, who we spoke about before.
As being a trophy.
They should get off to a 3-0 start.
You'd hope so.
You'd hope so, and maybe they run into a little bit of trouble in series number two due to the lack of pitching depth. They probably have Herman or Loaisiga,
I think,
or Sessa going.
Rotation.
So and CC's out on suspension.
CC's serving his suspension now, and then I think he's going to go on the IL after that. So it's a little loophole in the system. Serve the suspension now, and he obviously had his heart surgery in the offseason, so I think he'll be on the IL for a week or two after that.
Yeah, you want to be cautious.
But it's going to be interesting. I mean, the Yankees, there's a lot of questions surrounding them, a lot of wild cards. If their pitching can sustain what we hope that they can in the meantime while Severino's out, then they're going to be in good spots. But I think it's just very crucial for the Yankees to get off to a hot start, get their maybe not even a hot start, just stay above 500 for now until Severino comes back, and I think they'll be in a good position for the rest of the season. So then we're going to move to the crosstown rivals just to talk a little bit about my mighty Mets.
All right, you got to stop using the term mighty when you describe the Mets, Mike.
How about the champs of April?
What's so
at least we're the champs of something.
I get it has like a nice ring to it, but
it does.
But what's so mighty about them? I mean,
hey.
I'll let you live. Go talk about your Mets. Yeah. Come on.
I mean, you got it. Like I've been saying it for years. As a Mets fan, you got to get your hopes up for them to be crushed. So, you got to have hope going into the season.
You should be more like Jets fans.
We should.
Low expectations.
I know. But you know what? That's just how Mets fans are formed. So
I feel you.
The Mets have a very interesting opening day lineup and a very hard matchup here against the Washington Nationals. They've got 1 through 9. They've got Brendan Nimmo batting leadoff. He'll be playing in left. Pete Alonso will be batting in the two-hole. He'll be playing first base in his Major League debut. Robinson Cano, the man who we traded for in the offseason, who's really picked up a lot of steam heading into the season, he'll be batting third, playing second. Michael Conforto in the cleanup spot, he'll be in right field, batting fifth, the catcher Wilson Ramos, batting sixth, the third baseman Jeff McNeil, batting seventh, Amed Rosario at short, and eighth, Juan Legarza in center, with obviously the pitcher being Jacob deGrom. So, I mean, for me, I'm looking at this lineup, and obviously the two holes missing here are Jed Lowrie and Todd Frazier. But to me, you're not really missing them in this lineup. I don't think there's I would love to have Jed Lowrie on the bench, but I just don't think Todd Frazier's missed that much in this lineup. I believe that Jeff McNeil's better than Todd Frazier is. So I think it's a good lineup. The Mets fans have a lot to look forward to, but this is going to be the game that a majority of people are going to watch if they can, because I mean, a DeGrom-Scherzer matchup, the last time that happened, I forgot what the number was, but the last time there was a Cy Young winner going against the second runner-up in the Cy Young was a long time ago.
Yeah, I saw Buster Olney tweeted something like that. But it's going to be a tough matchup for the Mets. I mean, they have the lineup today has a combined 215 career average against Max Scherzer, and that's mainly carried by Michael Conforto, who's right. A career 8-for-23 against him. No one else has more than two hits against him.
Yeah.
Robbie Cano, 2-for-13 against Scherzer. Nimmo, 2-for-13 against Scherzer. Legarce, 1-for-13 against Scherzer. So it's definitely going to be a tough matchup. I'm sure the same can be said for Washington's career average against DeGrom.
Yeah.
But definitely a pitcher's matchup here today, and should be a duel.
I got the year. It's been the first time since 1979. And the other crazy thing is that the American League is the same thing. They've got Verlander going against Snell. So very, very cool. Got a lot of great pitching matchups today. I think it's going to be a big opening day. But as I had to learn brutally last year, the beginning of the season is not very crucial to...
I mean, we told you.
The rest of the year.
Champs of April.
I'm still waiting for the shirt. I have pre-ordered it, and it has not come. It is about 10 months late.
The design hasn't been out yet, all right? We're working on it.
We're working on it.
If it happens this year, I expect a shirt. I really do. Hopefully, there is no shirt. I would not like to have one.
Garoff is calling for the shirt. So I think
I want a shirt.
I think Mets should deliver.
You know, here's what we got to do. If the Mets have a winning record going into May, and then have a losing record at the end of May, you have to make a shirt, and I have to wear it around for a week. If they have a winning record,
will take a lot of work.
A day. I have to wear it a day, and in May, if they have a winning record at the end of April,
we have a shirt press at the school.
A day in May,
we can do it.
One day. If they, like I said, if they have a winning record at the end of April and then have a losing record.
Wait, hold on. Do we have a shirt press in the school?
No, I'm not kidding. We do.
Let's get it done. Let's do it.
You make a design and you press it on a shirt.
But they have to have a losing record. So we'll see. I really hope that I don't have to wear that shirt. I would love to be champs of the year. Obviously, that's not going to happen, but it's okay. I got to get my hopes up.
I like the little step down in confidence from Michael this year. he's been singing the praises, World Series champs, for the past few seasons. I like the settled back expectations. So anything above it would be a pleasant surprise.
Yeah,
I respect it.
Yeah, if you
should be like that.
Yeah,
unless of course you're the Boston Red Sox or the Houston Astros when you've won a World Series in the past few years and you have pretty much the same exact team.
Or if you're the Yankees.
Well. Yankees,
I mean, Yankee fans just
Yankees always have high expectations.
Yeah, exactly.
We're the gold standard.
But they actually live up to it.
Yeah, so we hit up on the Yankees and the Mets, and we know a lot of our viewers are from the school, from the New York area, so we wanted to get you guys Met and Yankee updates, our thoughts on that. But there are some other games, 28 other teams in action today, and we'll talk about the ESPN matchups at least. So I believe that the 4 o'clock game is the Diamondbacks and Dodgers, correct?
Yeah, interesting because Kershaw is hurt; he won't be pitching in that game.
Wow!
You got a Greinke versus I never know how to pronounce this guy's name.
Ryu.
I would say Ryu, but definitely an interesting matchup there. Greinke looking to get back to his Cy Young form. I mean, I hate to speak too soon because we were saying Chris Sale Cy Young form the other day, and he's never won a Cy Young, which is just absurd. But
Greinke has won Cy Young, though, so
we got to get the official research on that here.
I'm pretty positive.
I think he has also. But
I think it was either 2016 or 2017 before he went to the Diamondbacks because I remember how much hype that was. That
2009 won the Cy Young.
Did he? Then when did he? He must have been really close in like 2016 or something. I know for a fact because he was. It was a lot of hype before he was traded to the Diamondbacks. But a lot of good games today. The 1:07 game is the Red Sox going against the Mariners. That'll probably be a blowout. But the Mariners 2-0.
2-0 Mariners.
Best record in baseball. They're on pace to win 162 games. It's a huge start to the season for the Mariners. But in all reality, they're probably going to end up coming out 2-3 at the end of this series with the Red Sox. So I don't know, but it's very exciting. Opening day is upon us. It's really, really great. I can't really complain, but you know, we don't really need to go over the other teams because obviously not many of you people would really care about those guys. So that'll do it for the whip around.
One more. I just want to add all one right. more thing about the Boston-Seattle game. Marco Gonzalez will start for Seattle. He's already 1-0. He's got a 4.50 ERA. Not great, but he pitched in Japan a week ago against the 0-2 Oakland Athletics, and he got a win, 6 innings. So he's just going to have to kind of repeat what he did there, try and be a little bit better against a definitely a much better lineup than Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
Not saying Oakland has a bad lineup, but Boston has the best lineup in the league, matched up against the Yankees and Houston and the powerhouses. The A's have a good lineup, but not as good as Boston. So let's see if Gonzalez can navigate his way through on opening day. And hopefully Seattle can get us off to a great start.
Yeah, I'm
let's
sure.
Let's go Mariners.
You're hoping for that. The Mets obviously going to try to knock the Nationals down a little bit. But that'll do it for our MLB opening week. We hope you enjoy opening day and opening weekend. Always exciting to see your favorite teams go out and play baseball yet again. So that'll do it for me. Ben, as always.
All right, so that'll do it for our MLB opening week whip around. 4 shows in 4 days. We hope you guys enjoyed the content. And we'll be coming at you with a Colts Corner later, maybe a little shorter episode. We'll get you with the Sweet 16 preview and a little Hills West tennis preview too. Liam Parrish in studio had a big win yesterday, so we'll talk a little bit about that.
Congratulations, Liam.
Yeah, great work. Oh, and Julius here too, but I had to shout out his big win, give a little preview of what we're talking about on the podcast. But that'll do it for the whip around today. We'll see you for the Colts Corner later. We'll thank everyone then, but thanks for tuning in. I'm Ben Dixon alongside Douglas Atuca, Michael Garaffa, and we'll see you later.